please listen carefully.
Hello, universe, and welcome to the Optimus Daily Update. I'm Christy Jansen.
And I'm Summers McKay.
And we're part of the team behind the Optimus Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of the news media, social media, and the direction of your day to one focused on solutions.
7 days a week, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And now we are sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, home office-worthy. We are trying to do double duty and only have 16 minutes to record this episode-worthy podcast. Today is Tuesday, July 28, 2020. Hello, my dear. How are you today?
Oh, I'm fine. Just a typical Tuesday in coronavirus land.
Yes, indeed. It is coronavirus land. We're pretty good here at the McKay household. My little girl had her one-year appointment yesterday, and she had like kind of a grumpy afternoon. It started out being a grumpy day, and then I finally got her to nap the moment we pulled into the doctor's parking lot to go in for her first year appointment and all of her vaccinations.
Timing, right?
It was just one of those. I was like, this was really a bad week to give up.
Just in time to wake up. Did she get any shots today?
She did.
Oh,
We had the pneumococcal, the chickenpox, the measles, mumps, and rubella, and I forget what the fourth one was. I'll have to look that up. But yes, we did do all of her vaccines. You know, we actually vaccinated her early at 6 months for measles, mumps, and rubella because we anticipated doing some travel, some international travel back at the beginning of February. We had planned as a family to go on some trips. And that obviously did not happen. It's so important to care for your children's health and to keep up with your children's appointments. And, you know, one of the things that our doctor shared was that a lot of people have not been keeping up with their children's appointments because they don't feel safe going to the doctor right now. But I will say that the practice that we go to, they have patients spaced out. You know, there's just one or two patients in the entire office. The rooms are sanitized completely prior. And, you know, the healthcare providers themselves are very, very concerned about keeping themselves safe because they are exposed to so many people. So I would just encourage parents that even if you feel nervous about taking your child into a doctor, well visits are really important to continue through this time.
And I think this is an interesting question for everybody. It's probably time for my annual, you know, gyno checkup, you know,
it's
something I haven't even considered doing. I just, cause I'm not going anywhere, but I think keeping healthy requires having an ongoing relationship with all of our medical care team, if we can. And I do think that the medical profession is very, very aware of the repercussions of virus infection. So they're taking this super seriously and trying to be as safe as possible. So.
Yeah, exactly. I think you're so right. We all have to do our wellness visits. I know that I am a little bit past due on a dermatological visit. I have had skin cancer issues in the past. And so I am going to take my own advice and make that appointment and go get checked. See your doctors.
Yeah.
What else should we see today?
Let's take a look at the two stories that we chose as our highlighted headlines from today's solutions. And both of them are looking at the ocean, which as much as you love bears, you also love the ocean, Summers, right?
I know. And I felt like today Amelia wrote stories intentionally. I was reading the headlines this morning with my husband and the baby, and I was laughing because I was like, oh, Amelia did that on purpose. She wants Christy and I to talk about ocean space.
Right. So the one that I decided to highlight, and both of these, they hit my personal loves and interests on many different levels. But the headline I chose was this all-female expedition team is diving into ocean plastics research. This is from our environment section. And this is kind of linked to a story we shared recently about the Ocean Voyage Institute, which has completed the largest ocean cleanup to date in the Great Pacific Gyre. And now there's another crew exploring all five of the ocean's garbage collecting gyres to try to learn more about plastic pollution and its impact on our oceans and the health of the oceans. And even more unique, this crew is all made up of women, women researchers. And I just think this is really interesting because it's an around the world kind of collaboration between 300 women from 30 different countries. And it's going to travel 38,000 nautical miles, covering the North and South Atlantic, the South Pacific, and the Indian Ocean in groups of 10 across 31 different legs. I just think this is a brilliant idea. In addition to doing the really important and essential research on the oceans, it also highlights the fact that women are underrepresented both in the STEM workforce and also in the sailing community. And I grew up sailing, and it shouldn't be a gendered profession, honestly. But well, women have taken a back seat traditionally. So I think this is really a fantastic project because it promotes women in both science and in sailing.
I was thinking about this the other day of some of the fairy tales and stories that we read. And traditionally, women on boats and women in sailing have not been part of the folklore, had not been part of the story. And it made me laugh because I just think about whenever I think about sailing now, I think about you as a 14-year-old provisioning with your, you know, 14-year-old colleague for everyone. The woman who founded this, the organization is called EX Expedition, like expedition, but double X's. Her name is Emily Penn, and she really recognized that this lack of diversity, this lack of women representation in both sailing and STEM were something that was critical to her founding of her company. And this is one of those mission, value, purpose companies, right, where you are looking at the opportunity to make a change in the world. And I just really admire Emily Penn for her work. And obviously, we love keeping the ocean clean and trying to find better ways to heal our most important contributor to our biosphere.
Summers, this might be the perfect opportunity for you to run away and join the circus that is the Ocean Cleanup Project.
Exactly. Brennan and I can live on the E-double expedition with our 300 other women tribe. And I mean, I would miss probably my husband and the other kids. But nonetheless, this is the circus that I want to join.
Speaking of places to go visit in the ocean, what was the headline you wanted to focus on today, Summers?
Well, aquanaut Fabien Cousteau, grandson of Jacques Cousteau, has some stuff for us to read about, and it's awesome. Headline reads, check out these incredible plans to build an underwater space station. Yes, you heard that right. Underwater space station. So, Christy, here we have your two greatest loves combined into one, a space station in the ocean. So, as we know, obviously the ocean continues to be the most unexplored place on Earth. There's still so much to learn about the ocean. But what we read about, oh gosh, it was a few weeks ago, was the female astronaut who had been to space and then the deepest point ever traveled into the ocean. Yeah. Well, there is something very similar to the two environments, and there is a critical need for exploration of both. One thing that happens when you are a scuba diver, and those folks who dive know this, but there is something called the bends, and this is where there's an excess of nitrous oxide in your blood, and it is basically, it causes compression sickness, and these nitrogen bubbles form after periods of time when you have been underwater. So you are limited as a human in being deep in the ocean, and there's only so much time you can spend down there. What this underwater space station is providing is a habitable environment deep, deep in the ocean, like the habitable environment it creates in space. Mm-hmm. So there's an industrial designer named Yves Behar. Cousteau has this bold ambition of a 4,000 square foot lab offering a team of 12 researchers easy access to the ocean floor. And I just want a vacation there. They're going to be in like bubble-like protruding pods, two circular structures. It's a great visual. Definitely go look at the visual, guys.
I think it's a fantastic vision. And as Cousteau points out, and I completely agree, it's 1,000 times more important than space exploration for selfishly our survival, because we really don't have a deep understanding of the ocean environment, because right. it's not a place that we can spend a lot of time. We're not adapted to that. This is a very, very unique and visionary project that he's heading up to create an actual habitable pod that's under the water. It is literally something out of a science fiction movie, though. And yes. I love it. I love this story. It sparks so much of my imagination. It sparks my creativity. I find it wonderful. And I totally am going to follow this. It might sound like a crazy idea, but it is really, he has a point about space exploration versus ocean exploration. And ocean is right underneath our feet. And I think we really do need to invest time and energy and resources and our creativity and our inspiration in that.
What I also love about the legacy of this family is, if you want to talk about like Jacques Cousteau, I mean, perhaps it's just in the name and they're all just going to keep using that last name. Nobody takes on a new name in that family. But you want to talk about a way that you have sort of created a legacy for your progeny. I love that this whole family is so, and perhaps it's not the whole family. I'm sure there are other kids who are not super into the ocean, but I just have kind of like, I have last name envy. Like, I want to be a Cousteau.
The ocean dynasty of the Cousteaus.
Exactly. Well, and you just, you know, you kind of want that, that the work that you do. Well, I don't know if everybody wants that. But for me, I want the work that I do to create a legacy for my children. And I just think about that, if we go back to sort of mission, value, vision, as we were talking about expedition, when we go to work and we do things that are so meaningful to us, that affect change in the world, or that, you know, can inspire or empower, it is so exciting. And I don't know if Brennan's going to end up running some version of an Optimist Daily 50 years from now, but maybe she will. And I sure hope that the work that we are doing today, Christy, can create a better future for our children, all of our children, and our children's children, and your children's children, because this world needs it. We need legacy creation of good.
I think that's a wonderful concept, Summers, and I look forward to hearing about Brennan's success in the Optimist publication world.
Right? It'll be the universal Optimist Daily update, because she'll actually be working with story writers for space. And
she'll be on Mars in a pod that's covered by the
fungus, right? By the space
fungus that eats the radiation, right?
Exactly. Radiation fungus.
All right.
All right, guys, so we got to wrap up.
We do.
Take us home, Christy.
There's some other great headlines today. There's an NFL champion who's actually a doctor. He's going to skip the 2020 season to help fight COVID in his hometown. There's some tips on supporting parents who are working from home. There's an artist that's donated 1,800 paintings to a Brooklyn hospital to support the employees there. Londoners are commuting safely to work on open-air double-decker buses. I think that's a great idea. Maybe we should take off the tops of all of our cars and go back to convertibles. The case for relocating small businesses back to residential areas and mixed-use kind of location of businesses, I think that's a great solution. Cleaner air during lockdown has helped solar panels actually generate more green energy as smog pollution was reduced. Robotic devices that work like guide dogs for the blind. And some tips to help everyone feel more energized throughout our days as we're groggily making through our umpteenth day working remotely or with masks or however we're working and just dealing with the world. Anyway, yeah. That's it for the Optimist Daily. Please go and check out all of today's solutions. It helps really turn your day around to focus on solutions. And thank you, everybody, for listening to the Optimist Daily update today. As always, we promise to continue to share positive, solution-based stories with creative and brilliant ideas on how we can all participate in changing this world and ensure it is changed for the good. We always promise to cover the current events with accuracy, legitimate sourcing, and offer you the information needed most to chart new paths for all of us.
You guys know the drill. I'm going to ask you to become an emissary. Go to OptimistDaily.com, $5 a month. Be part of the solution changing consciousness, addressing our world's biggest challenges with a problem solving mindset. Let's keep the Optimist Daily free for those who need it, supported by those who can. Have a great day, everybody. See you tomorrow.
Talk to you tomorrow.